So I have listened to, I currently have a 6-day streak. The hours I have listened to is 425 this week. I have listened to 1,267 episodes.
Haley, slow down. Slow down. Hello, this is Jasmine. No, wait, that's not how we start our intro. Okay.
Hi, this is Cult Conspiracies.
Oh, okay.
Another creepy.
Welcome back to Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
I'm Jasmine.
I'm Haley.
And this is, oh my gosh.
We are,
we haven't done this in a while, but that was the best intro we're going to get for you guys. So sorry about that.
You want to try it one more time?
No, at this point, it's not worth it.
Okay, yeah, it is like 9 in the morning.
Yeah, we're feeling rough.
Yeah. We stayed up until like 12:30 last night.
Yeah, because we went to the Us movie, which was really good.
I recommend it.
Yes, definitely. It's a great movie. I'm not sure how it compares to Get Out, but like I feel like Get Out, the like idea of Get Out was more like revolutionary kinda. Yeah. But Us was like, it was a really good thriller.
It was. It does make you think a lot.
It does. It was good. And also we feel more like adults because we're going on a road trip soon.
Yes.
Like our first legit road trip.
Together, like no parents, no supervision, and like that term. Like,
yeah, it's gonna be nice. And it's like, it's kind of a business trip too. So like, I really feel like an adult.
I know. And we get excuse.
I know. Oh,
with
it's
our
so
classes
nice.
Because it's a college event.
But I'm really excited to be an adult, but I'm also hate it because I don't like the responsibility.
Everything, I don't know. I was like, let me rephrase that. I think everyone feels that way. They're like, yeah. Oh, I love the freedom, but I hate the responsibility.
Exactly. Speaking of responsibility, sorry if we've been slacking on podcast episodes recently, but it's just been a crazy month. Like, I was gone for a while, and then also misplacing the 10th episode kind of went in there, so.
It's after spring break. College students, after spring break, they just kind of reach this point where, like, it all goes down.
I have no motivation for, like, any schoolwork, and so all the schoolwork is piling up, and I'm having to do it, and I have no motivation for that. I want to do the podcast instead, but I have to put school first.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's to really rough.
Solve that, I talked to my professor because I was feeling the same way. I'm like, how, you got any tips, tricks? And he's like, stay in a group and like make each other say, like,
yeah.
That's the only way.
See, I get distracted in a group though. Like, if there's more people around, then I'll just like end up talking about time or,
oh my God,
different dimensions. And then everyone's like, Jasmine, stop. And then I'm like, but time is vertical.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, speaking of getting off track, we need to stay on track. So I guess I'll start us off with a cult.
Yes.
And this is one Haley actually hasn't heard of. It is Om Shinrikyo. Hopefully I pronounced that right. I looked it up like 50 times, but it is a Japanese cult. So we're kind of getting out of America. I mean, we got out of America last time with the Ant Hill Kids because that was in Canada. But now we're getting even further away.
Yeah. I was like, Canada is like the upgrade version of America.
It really is.
So like, it's not that like.
Canada is like the bougie America.
Yes. But this is like actually like out in a whole another country, like.
Totally over the Pacific Sea.
Yes.
So let's go. Om Shinrikyo. So let's talk about this cult leader. So Shokio Asara, hopefully I pronounced that right too, but he was born March 2nd, 1955. He was born to a really poor family and he attended school for the blind, because he was legally blind. He had an infantile glaucoma, which he was born with. So, like, he really could not see. He was, however, a really charming guy, but also at his school, the school for the blind, he was known as a bully there. He was able to manipulate people from childhood, which is something we see with a lot of cult leaders. We see a lot of manipulation early on in childhood. So if you are a parent and your child is manipulating people, make sure they don't start a cult. Haley just, like, gave me the worst look ever.
Okay. Philosophy degrees. You dish on them. Now you're dishing on kids.
I'm dishing on kids who are trying to start cults. We don't want any cult-starting children. Okay, moving on before Haley hurts me. So, Shoko went on to study Chinese medicine and acupuncture. And he actually ended up getting married, and he had 12 kids. 12 kids. That's 12 kids who can potentially start their own cults. Also, he claimed to be a deity, which is typical of cult leaders. He said he could purify sinners, and he was also a prophet for the end times. Does that sound like a little Canadian cult we just talked about a little bit?
Check off on one of the requirements to start a cult.
Yeah.
End of the world. Check.
Exactly. We're going to start. We already talked about this in previous episodes, but we're going to do an episode where we just talk about, like, all the requirements to start a cult because they have so many similarities. It's insane. But he also said he was a reincarnation of Shiva, which is the god of destruction, I think, in India.
Check. Reincarnation of a god.
Yep. Another check mark. And then in 1992, he actually published a book called Declaring Myself Christ. So
narcissistic. I like it.
But I'm like, okay, if you're the reincarnation of Shiva, how can you also be Christ? Like, he's just like, I am all of the gods in one person, reincarnated. Just this guy. He was also very anti-American. Like, he hated Americans, and he also hated Jews. He was very anti-Semitic. So, yeah. Not a great guy already. And he wanted to rule Japan as a king, and he wanted to fight for world domination.
Why does this sound like Death Note a little bit?
There is an anime on this cult.
Oh, my God, because it sounds like, oh, Light off of a
yeah.
Death Note. That's
basically, if you are a weeboo in any form and you've ever seen Death Note, like, yes, he thinks he's God. So, like, there's that similarity.
Yeah, and he wants to dominate the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also claimed Armageddon would come by 1995, 1997, or 1999, which I'm like, okay, why not 1996 or 1998? Like, he's like, it's one of these 3 years, but it's not the two in between. It's like,
he doesn't like the okay. Evens.
Oh, yeah. He only likes the odds.
Wow, Jasmine. Wow.
Maybe, but why? Like, why? He was born on an odd year, 1955. So maybe that factors in there. So now let's talk about the actual cult. Shinikyo. So it was an apocalyptic doomsday neo-Buddhist cult, which that's a lot to say. So let's break it down. They talk about the end times in doomsday. They're also, like, kind of based on new Buddhist and new age principles. So that's, like, the best way to describe it. It was a new religion founded in February 1984. And they based a lot of their theology on, like, Eastern religions and also science and, like, the occult and New Age. And the government actually granted them recognition by 1989. So it took them about 5 years to actually be recognized by the government. But it is interesting that the government recognized them. So they started recruiting thousands of intelligent members, like, TV and magazines and universities would invite him to actually lecture there. Like, they were actually gaining a lot of recognition. And a lot of the members that they had were, like, scientists, engineers. They weren't just, like, weird hippies trying to find a commune to join. Like, they were legit, like, intelligent people with, like, really high-paying, educated jobs. He used a lot of mind control on his followers and psychedelic drugs. They had a lot of secret rituals, and there's a lot of violence and blackmail to keep members in line. Blackmail, another check mark on the cult list.
All right, you got three of the things that you need to start a cult, or is in almost every cult.
Exactly. They had their, like, kind of commune compound in the foothills of Mount Fuji. And by 1988, he was forcing members to donate to his cult. So he was like, you have to donate money to me. And so he would force them to donate a bunch of money.
Check money.
Yes. So in February 1989, several of Ashara's followers strangled to death cult member... Oh, gosh, another name. Shuji Togashi. Tagushi. Shugi Tagushi. Let's just call him...
Shugi Tagushi.
Let's just call him ST. Okay. So, several of his followers strangled ST, who had tried to leave the organization. And he actually ordered the execution. So... In November 4th, 1989, there was another incident where they raided the home of, oh my gosh, Tutsumi Sakamoto. And so we'll call him TS. Taylor Swift. So when they raided this guy's home, this guy was a lawyer and he was actually handling complaints about the cult. And he actually was going to go to the media and kind of expose them. And so they came in, they raided his home, they kidnapped his wife and his one-year-old son. And one member of the hit squad was his bodyguard, and he was skilled in karate. So they severely beat the lawyer before finishing him off and kicked his wife in the stomach while the other members strangled her. So, yeah, it's pretty intense. They basically just wanted to silence this guy, but also they killed his whole family, basically. So after that, that was just kind of a little violent incident in there. People say, like, why was he killed? And it's because he was gonna go to the media because he thought the police were doing a bad job, like, investigating this cult. And then the police did a really bad job investigating this guy's... murder and kidnapping, because the police, when they went to the crime scene, they didn't find, there was a little symbol, like a little pin from the cult that they didn't even, like, they didn't pay any attention to. And it was just right there at the scene of the crime where his wife was beaten and strangled and, like, everything happened before they disappeared. So yeah, the police did a horrible job investigating there. So some people think there was actually a cult sympathizer, like, in the police. Like, someone in the police was kind of actually in the cult, so they were keeping things on the down low. So this is where we're starting to get really ramped up in the cult. So you may already think, okay, they're killing people and, like, they're very violent, you know. So what? Like, what else? Here's where it gets crazy. So... about 20 members ran for office and didn't win in 1990. So they're trying to get in the government, basically. They're trying to get more control. And they started manufacturing a bunch of drugs and selling them to the Japanese mafia, the Yakuza. And if you've ever heard of the Yakuza, they're, like, still around, actually. It's basically like the mafia, but in Japan. And they're pretty vicious. They're pretty violent. They come up in a lot of Japanese cases. So yeah, they were manufacturing drugs and giving them to the mafia. And they actually recruited several members of the Yakuza to their cult. And one of them was assigned to manufacture guns, which is a really rare item in Japan because they're very strict on guns there. They are known to have some of the strictest gun control laws in the world. So they're already now in the mafia. They were hurting people. Now they're in the mafia, basically. They also had some legitimate businesses outside of their drugs and guns. They had yoga classes, curry shops, which I love curry. Curry's so good. And they also had computer stores. And it was estimated at one point they had assets of almost $1 billion by 1995. They actually set up operations in 7 other countries: Russia, Australia, Germany, former Yugoslavia, Taiwan, and Sri Lanka. They were actually incorporated in 1987 in the USA. They had an organization called OM USA, and they used this for like selling books and cult stuff. But some people say it was a front so they could acquire some military technology to use back in Japan, which they kind of did do. They got some military hardware and gas masks, which the gas masks will come in later. So yeah, they had that shady operation in the USA. In 1992, they started looking into helicopters because they wanted to spread sarin across Japan, and sarin is a super deadly chemical. So they wanted to spread that across Japan. It's a deadly nerve gas. It was developed by the Nazis, actually. So, a little side note there. So they started looking into helicopters. And also, that was in 1992. Now let's jump to 1993. They bought a 500,000-acre sheep farm in Australia. And they set up a lab there where they were doing experiments. And finally, the Australians were like, okay, what's going on? And so they shut down the farm. And what they found there was very suspicious. They found 29 dead sheep laying on the ground. And when they took samples of the ground, like the soil, they found trace amounts of sarin in the ground. So they think they were like experimenting with sarin on different living things like sheep, like on that 500,000-acre farm in Australia. Then in 1993, the same year, they sent 2 of their cult members to Florida to take pilot lessons so they could fly a helicopter. So they sent them to Florida, and then they purchased a helicopter from Russia. And then in 1994, they had their first attack. It was in northern Japan. It was in a suburb area, I believe. And they spread sarin around, and about 8 died and 100 people were injured.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the most famous attack, this is what really showed up in the news in like 1995. This is when this happened. And this is what really spread across the news. It was like international news at this point. They attacked a subway in Tokyo. So the attack began shortly after 8 a.m. on the 20th of March in 1995. 5 members of the cults had these plastic bags containing liquid sarin, and they punctured them with tips of their umbrellas before they left the scene. So in the subway, they had these bags. They punctured them with their umbrellas, skirted out of there. And the passengers in the subway, they started to smell something. Some said it kind of smelled like paint thinner. And they started to cough and struggle to breathe. And some made it out up to the street platforms before most things could happen. But some of them started foaming at the mouth, coughing up blood. And the liquid, one guy, this is a direct quote from him. He said, "Liquid was spread on the floor in the middle of the subway carriage, and people were convulsing in their seats. One man was leaning against a pole, his shirt open, bodily fluids leaking out." So just horrible, horrible things. And 13 people ended up dying from that incident, and 6,000 fell ill. 6,000. Wow. Which is easy to believe because it was in a subway, which is a very public place.
And very close too, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's very central to the city. But this is so sad. So after this event, obviously the government's okay, we know what's going on here, with your cult. So this guy, eluded arrest for about 2 months. And when they found him, he was found up at the compound by the mountain. And he was found like in a tiny space behind a wall with cash in a sleeping bag.
Wow.
Yeah. So he went through trial for a very long time because the Japanese court system's a little bit different. Like they can't execute someone till they have used every single one of their appeals. So he actually was not executed until last year.
Wow.
Even though this happened in 1995.
But I believe that there's so many people, like, we're kind of the same here a little bit. Like, if someone's on, like, death row, we can't kill them until, like, we've 100% sure they're guilty.
Yeah. Everyone knew this guy was guilty, though. Like, yeah. Everyone knew. Yeah. So he was executed at the age of 63 in 2018. He was actually hanged. And there's also six other of his disciples who are in prison. And I don't think any of them have been executed yet, but they're like approaching their time. So, yeah, his death sentence was not finalized until 2006, but they can't carry it out till all the appeals were exhausted, as I said before. And so you may be wondering, what's happening with the cult today? So Om was actually banned, but it resurfaced in 2000 as Aleph. So the members in Aleph claimed that they had disowned Asara and they agreed to pay compensation to the gas attack victims. So they were like, we're still kind of the cult, but we're renamed. This guy's not part of us and we're going to pay money to the victims. So sounds pretty good, right? And they're actually kept under 24/7 surveillance, which is kind of funny. Like, they're always being watched by the government because the government knows, like, you guys are shady. You guys are really shady.
Well, at least they'll be safe and sorry.
Yeah. But there are rumors that they still follow his teachings and they have pictures of him up. There are rumors that they still kind of follow him secretly. And actually, this is pretty recently. New Year's Day 2019 at 12:10 a.m. nine people were injured. One was really seriously injured when a car was deliberately driven into a crowd celebrating the new year on, I'm not even going to pronounce his name, it was in Tokyo on a street.
I think you can look out because I think I heard of it, like that happening.
Takeshita, I think that's how you say it. Takeshita Street in Tokyo. Sorry if we have any Japanese listeners, but the local police reported the arrest of Kazuro Kusakabe, the suspected driver, who allegedly admitted to intentionally ramming his vehicle into the crowd to protest his opposition to the death penalty, specifically in relation to the Om cult members. So he said he drove his car into this crowd on New Year's because he wanted to protest the death penalty, specifically because of the cult members who were being executed.
Wow.
So people think, was he part of the cult? Is that why? Is this a cult attack? Or is this just a guy protesting the death penalty? Pretty shady there, but that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed that cult, and let's pass it over to Haley with some paranormal.
Okay, so this topic, Jasmine knows it. So my sister went to this hotel, actually, like, I want to say like a couple weeks ago.
Did she stay there or just visit it?
No, she stayed there.
Like in it?
Yeah, actually. Whoa. In it. Like, okay. She has a really rich friend. They rented out the whole mansion just to them.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Can I meet her friend?
I'll talk to you more about it later because they own some business.
Okay.
So you probably will know them. But yeah, no. So like they rented out the whole place and like they ghost hunted and it was hilarious. Okay. These are all like 12, 13 year old girls. Like there's seven of them.
Oh my God.
Just running around this haunted house and just goofing off. And I'm like,
that sounds so fun. That's something we need to do.
Oh my God. And the parents were like, made it worse by like knocking on stuff and like scaring the life out of them. But they didn't find anything, but I think it's because, like, If I was a ghost and there was like 7, 13, 12-year-old girls,
I'd be like,
skirt.
No, I'm not going to be haunting tonight.
So, yeah. So you might ask, where is this mansion located at? St. Louis, Missouri. The Limp family was very popular within the 1840s, around there. Mm-hmm. They had this like brewer company. They were the first ones. They kind of make like lighter beer, like, because mm-hmm. at the time it was very like the dark beer, so you know, like Bud Light and stuff like that. I think it's like that kind of beer,
like lighter beer.
Yeah, because I think we're still Missouri's still known for like that, like the lighter beer.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of breweries in like St. Louis area.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go dive into the history as much, or if I should go to the... Well, I'm going to dive into the history, but I don't know how much I mm-hmm. want to right
just
now.
Just do, like, the basics of the history so they kind of understand how wild.
Yeah, because I feel like I don't want to overtake it, because that's what happened to a lot of podcasts I hear this to.
Uh-huh.
John Limp was from originally Germany, and he moved to St. Louis in 1838. And he was like, you know what? Let's make some beer. They were really rich. He actually like stored his beer in a cave when it was brewing because it was so cold.
Mm-hmm.
So like he found like a cave in St. Louis and like kept it with some like ice from the Mississippi River and like put it in there. Yeah.
I'm just imagining this guy like walking through the wilderness to find a cave with like a bunch of beers and like dirty like water made into ice from the Mississippi River.
But also like he would have like parties and stuff down mm-hmm. there. It yeah. was yeah, they originally had to close it off due to like safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Wait, so the cave was like under his house, right?
Yeah. It was like under around like the brewery area house.
Mm-hmm.
1840, that's when the company was made, and like he got super rich, everything like that. He had 4 sons. He favored a couple of them. So William J. Took over the business. So William died under like weird circumstances in 1901. 3 years later, William Limp shot himself in the head. And the mansion just lost his father and just is all crazy. He shot himself. So basically everyone shot themselves. His like the children shot themselves.
Really? Every like almost everyone?
Yeah. With the same gun.
With the same gun?
And the house.
Oh my gosh. That's a haunting waiting to happen, folks. So, that is no.
They like went under for a little bit, but yeah. Okay, there's also Junior. I forgot, that's why I'm so confused, because I didn't put Junior. So William Limp Jr. shot himself where his father died 19 years earlier, and then William Limp the third thankfully died from a heart attack. William's junior brother, Charlie, continued living in the house after his brother's suicide. Charlie died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And it was discovered by his brother, Edwards. Edward was the most, like, smart person because he just lived his life in retail, like, realtor.
Realtor.
Yeah,
there
like
we go.
So he, like he was selling houses, and he died of natural causes in 1970s. So he was the only one. So yeah, so it was like multiple suicides. It was the same gun, same like place in the house, everything. They had a child who was oh my god, what's the word I tried to use last time?
Realtor?
Not realtor. In the other episode, reincarnation. Like, I don't like to use that word.
Oh,
but,
yeah. You had a different word.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Sorry.
I can't remember either, but it's different terms. So he was flirting with some girls. William Limp, and he got someone pregnant.
Oh no.
So he hid the child away in the attic, and they'll like leave toys there, and like they see him move, and like so they like kept him in the like attic because they were like such a shame. So that's why. Okay, for a second I was listening to a podcast over it. I wanted to make sure because I have someone. I was like listening to so many. Now I remember because I didn't read it, but I heard it,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Okay, so yeah, so they had the child in the attic, and that's why Charles stayed until he just stayed in the house after the brother's suicide because the child was still in the house. So okay. Until the child died, they called him Monkey Face Boy. The boy doesn't have a name at all. So he died in the house. Everyone had suicide in the house almost. So
that is so sad. Monkey Face Boy. Like, what the heck? At least yeah. name your child. Like, who cares if he's like in.
Well, at that
legitimate child, like at the time, like he wasn't legitimate.
And also he was defective. Like, that's what they thought of him, was defective.
So sad.
So, yeah. So if you watch Ghost Adventures, they have a whole episode on this. But so let me start from the attic and go down. So
like for haunting wise?
Yeah, haunting okay. wise. With the haunting. So the boy still ghost is living up there. And he'll like if you bring toys or something up there, like they'll move like a good distance. And like women will feel like tugging on them and like saying like, "Hey, I don't want you to leave," like a boy, like a child, like
want a mother.
Or like with women, they'll like feel someone grab them arm, like grab mm-hmm. their arm.
That's so sad. He just wanted love. He just wanted affection.
So yeah. So then in the basement, where the dining hall is, because mm-hmm. they transferred at that time, it was you ate on like the level floor, so you went ate below. Like underground, technically,
mm-hmm.
but in the basement, it's like a restaurant now. By the way, this mansion is like
it's like a bed and breakfast
kind of thing. Yeah, you can stay there. They have a restaurant underneath.
We're staying there sometime, Haley.
Yes, but the ghosts will do is they'll like rip off tablecloths, like throw glasses, and they'll like move silverware upstairs to where like they're supposed to be eating because it's like. Oh. No, you don't eat in the basement. Like,
so it's like, stop, you eat here.
Yeah.
That's so sassy. I love some sassy ghosts, you know?
That and just, you'll see like ghosts just kind of, you know, the normal like seeing ghosts kind of walk around, yeah. that kind of stuff. I forgot to mention, with one of the brothers' suicide, they killed the dog before he committed suicide. So
no.
you can hear like a dog like, because he, like, they found the dog, like, trying to walk up the stairs.
No.
Like, when it died, yeah. So, like, you can hear, like, howling and, like, you know, like,
puppy.
Dog.
That's what probably what kind of dog are we talking?
I don't know. Probably a big dog.
No.
Because they probably use them for hunting and stuff like that.
I love big dogs.
So, yeah. So, it's just overall just very creepy. Oh my god, I have to tell you this story that kind of creeps me out a little bit about the house. So, my sister and her friends and all that and the parents are about to leave the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the mansion. I don't know what to call it at this point. Okay, so, I feel like in a safe area.
Yeah.
The brewery and stuff is like a huge area. Kind of, they have all that. Well, this woman, someone like popped a tire because like, and then this woman out of nowhere, like, shows up, and they think that she's the one that, like, popped the tires
mm-hmm.
of this, like, woman's car that my, like, sister's driving with or, like, with. Because uh-huh. they had to take two cars. So this woman, like, delusional, broke into the house and started saying, like, my family owns this house.
Oh my gosh.
And there's like another mansion, like another haunted mansion, like probably within walking distance, my sister said.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably thought it's probably that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they broke in and like they had to like, she's like started like making herself coffee, like was about to get in a shower and all this, and like saying like
make
this
yourself
is my-
at home.
Yeah. And like they had to like call the cops and like get her out, and like it, I'm like, if like a creepy person just walked in going, this is my family's house, like my family history, and yeah
that's like, kind of funny. I just imagine like this person like walking in like, this is my house, some coffee.
It was really creepy. But yeah, she did not find anything, but it's just basically, I want to say, like, other than that kind of stuff, just very creepy. Some of the ghosts are peeping toms in the bathroom with women.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. So
yeah,
be careful.
Just peeping toms, just kind of normal ghost stuff per se. Like there's nothing really like, ooh, like creepy.
It's just like things moving.
Yeah,
like you feel like there's a presence there. You yeah. see like maybe something.
Yeah, because it's not big or anything like that. Sorry.
It's not like a demonic thing. Really.
Yeah, it's just normal ghosts. But it's super interesting since my sister went there. They did like have like the gear, like actual like ghost hunting gear.
Oh, that's so fun! I'm jealous. I want to go.
They do have, I think.
They probably do ghost tours.
Yeah, they go ghost tours. It's a dinner, mystery dinners. Like, you know, when you like, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm such a mess though, because like in my thing, I forgot there was like juniors and like third and stuff like that. So
names are hard. We already know that for Haley.
I don't know why. I'm a human and I can, oh my God. I'm this human that no matter what, I'm just a jumble up mess, but I'll get the point across.
Yeah.
I know my information is just,
yeah, Haley's like a book of information. It's just hard to read the book.
How do you put it? It's like Google. Okay, you're on Google search and you know exactly what you want to say,
but you don't know what to search for.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually a thing though. I feel like there should be a word for that, because there's so many times like I remember something and I'm like, what am I trying to search for? And I'm like, what's the word to like try to find this?
Yes, that's how I am. I'm like,
that's how Haley's brain is.
My brain, I listen to so much stuff and I am just a ball of like information, especially mm-hmm. true crime, because I was like, oh wait, maybe I was like, I wrote it in my notes, but I was like, oh man, I feel like I wrote it, but it was for a different thing, kind of thing.
Yeah,
because I was like listening to, I think, the podcast one, and I heard it, but then I was like, I never read it. But then I was like, oh, maybe it's this one. But mm-hmm. at this point, they're all just kind of merging together. I need to stop.
Yes, Haley. slow down on the podcast. We know you have a problem.
Hold on. So I listen to all my podcasts on Stitcher. Let me see how many hours it'll track, how many hours you have listened to podcasts. So I have... listen to, I've currently have a 6-day streak. The hours I've listened to is 425 this week. I've listened
what?
To 1,267 episodes.
Haley, slow down. Slow down.
In the last 2 weeks, the most podcasts I've listened to, my top five is Time Suck, Last Podcast on Left, Myth and Legends, This Is Why We Drink, and Myth Understood. Also, you have now officially heard my podcast addiction. For real, I listen to it 24/7. I listen to it on my way to work. I listen to it at work. I listen to the way to classes. I listen to them when I'm driving, just anywhere.
Yeah. See, I actually don't listen to podcasts that often because I love music so much. So, like, I always turn on music instead.
I used to love music, but now podcasts are like, even when I'm like at home, I'll listen to podcasts. And if not, I'm listening to YouTube videos over a podcast, or like people yeah. that do podcasts and YouTube videos, I'll be listening
yeah.
to that.
Kendall Ray, love her.
Yeah. I'll listen to, like, I'll be watching her YouTube videos. So yeah. basically, my life is just true crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch documentaries too and stuff. And
that's our lives right here. Like,
oh, wait.
We probably should go.
Yes.
But thanks for watching.
Thanks.
Bye.